So we're on page 304, which is Simon Tuf Resh Pei Ches, and we're in the Ramah at the end of Seif Hey, which is the second line from the top. The Imhu Bamidbar O Besfina. It seems like he's talking about someone who doesn't have neither this status nor that status. He's not a Ben Ir for the day of Purim, nor is he a Ben Krach. He's out in the desert, he's on a boat. So which of the 2 days should he read on? And here the Ramah quotes the Kolbo, Biyom, Kore Biyom Yudalid Kmo Rov HaOlam. So the fallback position in the case where you're neither a Ben Ir or Ben Krach is Yudalid. That's called Rov HaOlam. And if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Yud Gimel, he says, Afilu hi b'bnei akrochim, this would apply even if he belongs to the Krach. Why? Because he's nowhere near his Krach on Tesvav. Where is he on Tesvav? He's on a boat. And where is he on Yudalid? He's on the same boat.
Well, Ramah doesn't use the verb in the suing, in the scene, he's traveling.
He's traveling, right.
To indicate that,
if he's traveling and
he's traveling, then it's more likely he might be a vineyard or a car.
Right. But since he's traveling and he's on a...
No, but he's not... He's in the desert or he's on a boat, but he doesn't seem to have he's not affiliated with...
Right, he's not associated neither with this nor with that, but he reads with Rova Ola. Okay, so we're up to Sivvav, three lines down from the top, and here there's an overlap between Shabbos and Purim. So the first case that we have here is Yom Tesvav Shechalios B'Shabbos. So the Bnei HaKrochim, let's say the Yerushalmim, should be reading Megillah on the day of Tesvav, but now it's Shabbos. So we have a principle here, Ein Koranis HaMegillah B'Shabbos. We don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. We have to ask ourselves why, and then we have to ask ourselves a second question. So if we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, when do we read the Megillah? And then a similar question could be asked, if Yom Yudalid falls on Shabbos, we can't read the Megillah on Yom Yudalid, on which day of the week should we read the Megillah? So let's begin with the Mishnah Berurah number Yudalid. And he says the following, that the way our calendar is organized, the whole issue of an overlap between Yudalid on Shabbos, which is addressed in the Gemara, becomes theoretical. In other words, on a theoretical level, it could happen. But because of the way our calendar is structured, based on Hilul Hasheni, we don't have the possibility of Yudalid on Shabbos. If Yudalid would fall out on Shabbos, let's say if we go back in history to the time that they were Mekadesh Al Pi Re'iyah, then the reading of the Megillah would be on Yud Beis, would be 2 days earlier, together with the Kfarim who read on the Yom HaKnisa. So our relevancy is going to be here in Yerushalayim, and this is something that happens frequently, that Purim coincides with Shabbos, meaning Shabbos falls out on the 15th of Adar. So first we want to ask the question, why don't we read the Megillah in such a case? Say it again?
That's in Purim Mishulash.
Yeah, Purim Mishulash. Mishulash, right. So the Mishnah Berurah Tesvav says, the Gozer Rabbana, and this is the famous Gzeira Deraba, Shema Yelech Eitzal Chacham Lelamda, Eich Lekrosa, he's going to go to a Chacham to teach him how to read the Megillah. V'avirena Arba Amos B'Shus HaRavim. So the observance of Shabbos requires that we don't read the Megillah. Reading the Megillah could possibly lead to a violation of Havaras Arba Amos B'Shus HaRavim. The big question here is why Rav is only interested in Arba Amos. He could have said simply, meaning if he's going to a Bucky's house, to a Chacham who's going to teach him how to read the Megillah, then presumably he's going to leave his private domain and enter into public domain. And that would itself constitutes a violation of Meleches Hotza, even without Dalet Hamas Bishus Rabin. And perhaps the reason why we're not worried about that is because it should be obvious to everyone that you don't carry something out into Rishus HaRabim from Rishus HaYochid. That was something well known. But what happens if you already carried it out in Rishus HaRabim? Maybe he's not so aware of the fact that he's not allowed to carry it for Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Or alternatively, maybe when he picked up the Megillah in Rishus HaYochid, that was not for the purpose of taking it out into Rishus HaRabim. What he had in mind was reading the Megillah. Then he realized, wait, I don't know, I'm not a Bucky. So he decided, after he did what's called the Akira, and he picked up the Megillah, to take it out into a Rishus HaRabim. And if that case, in such a scenario, he would not be Chai Frotza, because the Akira was not Al Manasla Lotzes. But with regard to Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim, we have a principle called Mahalik Ka'omei Domi, and every time he takes a step and he stands on a certain spot, that already is considered a Hanocha, such that the next step that he takes is already an Akira, and that will set up an Akira HaMachayeves if he carries it for Amos Rosh Hashanah. So there's no Megillah reading on Shabbos. Now, would there be something else that would substitute for the Megillah reading? For example, would we read Parshas Zohar in such a case? Perhaps there's a din of Shol and Vidarshim that the Chacham has to teach from a Megillah, the laws of Megillah, or the stories of the Megillah. All this has to be understood. But let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Tetzayin. He addresses a different question. HaMegillah b'Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, v'oz Yom HaShabbos, when do we read Parshas Zohar? On Chesla Adar, right? So we subtract 7 days going backwards from Tesvav, right? Because Tesvav is Purim in Yerushalayim, and if you subtract 7 days, you get to the 8th day of Adar, because 8 and 7 is 15. And that Shabbos, the 8th of Adar, is going to be the reading of Parshas Zohar. And what's the Haftarah for Parshas Zohar? Maftirin Pakadati. That's the story of Shaul being commanded by Shmuel to go out and battle against Amalek. So now, what do we do on the Shabbos of Purim? If we've already fulfilled, the mitzvah of Parshas Zohar on the previous Shabbos, on the 8th, and on that same Shabbos we already read the Haftarah that would be appropriate for Purim, what are we going to do on Tesvav? We're not reading the Megillah. It's the day of Purim in Yerushalayim. We're not going to read the Haftorah because we already read it last week. We don't have Parshas Zohar. We already read Parshas Zohar last week. So the Mishnah Berurah here quotes a sheet of the Magen Avraham, which is a little bit of an odd sheet. It's a big chiddush here. And he says that gam b'tesvav la'adar maftirin pakadati, we're gonna read the same haftorah that we read the previous Shabbos, which is the haftorah appropriate for Parshas Zohar. And why the repetition? And he says that since we're in the krach and now it's Purim, so the mitzvah of reading the Megillah, which again we cannot fulfill, encompasses within it the mitzvah of Amalek, because Haman is Mizera Amalek. So we're going to have to... Now, again, the 15th of Adar is not Purim for the Ayaros, so they're going to go back to a regular Haftorah for whatever the Parsha is. But with regard to the Krachim, for them it's Purim, and the Haftorah is appropriate. So whereas Kriyas Parshas Zohar, once we fulfilled it, and that was the previous Shabbos on the 8th, there's no point to reading it a second time. You already fulfilled that mitzvah. However, with regard to the Haftorah, there we don't have a problem repeating the Haftorah as long as it's appropriate for that day. Every Every Shabbos requires a reading of Haftorah. If the Shabbos of Purim, in this case it's Purim in Yerushalayim, requires Haftorah of Pakadati, that's exactly what we read. We're not talking about a Chovas Gavra, you know, to fulfill a mitzvah of Haftorah. We're talking about the Tzibur reading an Haftorah following the Kriyas HaTorah. And the fact that you already have read this Haftorah Pakadati on the previous week, that's irrelevant. So what are we left with on this Shabbos of Tesvav in Yerushalayim? Number one, we don't have Kriyas HaMegillah. Number two, we don't have the reading of Parshas Zohar. What we're left with is number three, the reading of the Haftorah Pakadati. Well, now we have number four. V'sholim v'darshim bo bayom v'hilches Purim k'dei sheyizkru inyan hayom. That what the Chacham is required to do is to teach the laws of Purim, or at least something about the miracle of Purim, that he should be reading publicly in the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos of Purim. And we want to remember what the day is. So you do see clearly that in two ways, the day of Shabbos still maintains its inherent status as Purim. It is Purim. How do we reflect, how do we express the Kiyum of Purim? Number one, through the law of Maftirin Pakadati, the Haftorah for Amolek, which is appropriate for Purim. And number two, through Sholem Vidarshan, that the Chacham will publicly teach the laws of Purim, or at least about the miracle of Purim. Ukshechal b'chol, and if you'll ask me where on a regular classical Purim, we don't have Sholem Vidarshan, meaning at this point the Mishnah Berurah is asking, well, Purim is also a moed; it has the status of a yontif like any other yontif, and with regard to yontif, we have Halach of Sholem Vidarshan. That on every yontif, the Chacham has to be Doresh. He has to answer questions relevant to the yontif, and he has to field horos. Where did that halacha get lost on Purim? There is no requirement of Sholem V'Darshan on Purim. When you have a day of Purim that's completely bereft of Megillah, of reading the Megillah because it's Shabbos, then we have Sholem V'Darshan. What about a regular Purim? And the answer is that the only reason we have Sholem V'Darshan on Purim of Shabbos is because of the absence of Kriyas HaMegillah. The real cue of addressing Purim and learning about Purim is through the Megillah itself. The Kriyas HaMegillah is going to replace the Sholem V'Darshan. So in every Yontif, we have to fulfill Sholem V'Darshan literally. But in the case of Purim, we have a substitute Kiyum of Sholem V'Darshan, and that's Kriyas HaMegillah. On Shabbos of Purim, we don't have Kriyas HaMegillah, so we have to go back to the original Sholem V'Darshan. Okay, what else do we have on this Shabbos of Purim? Well, we have Al Anisim in davening and in Birkas HaMazon. We don't have Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim. So let's go back to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, Yom Tesvav Shechalios B'Shabbos Ein Korin HaMegillah B'Shabbos El Makdivim L'Krosa B'Erev Shabbos. So on the 14th, we're going to read the Megillah. Then the Mechaber addresses the mitzvos hayom, for example, matanos le'evyonim. Obviously, that mitzvah is not appropriate for Shabbos. We're not going to collect money on Shabbos. But the Mechaber formulates the following principle: most of matnas hayonim, Evyonim is a schlep along, it's a tag along to Kriyas HaMegillah. Whenever you read the Megillah, because the Gemara says, Einem shel aniyim tluyos b'Megillah, that's when they know they can come around and collect Matanos Evyonim. So therefore, since we read the Megillah in this case on Friday, that's when we're going to have to give out Matanos Evyonim. U'mechalkin osam bo bayom. And we give it out on that day. Now, this is a bit of a chiddush because Sudas Purim is going to be eaten, I think, on Sunday, correct? Let's fast forward for a moment to the end of this sieve. And he says, Enos in Sudas Purim ad yom echad v'shabbos. This is where you get the cuts of the Meshulash. So it turns out like this. As far as Purim of Megillah is concerned, together with Matanos of Yonah, that's on Friday. As far as the reading of the Haftorah and Shol of Darshan, that's going to be on Shabbos. As far as Sudas Purim, that's going to be taking place on Sunday.
Shabbos, even though davening, you say Al Nisim, and even benching Al Nisim, but it's not Sudas Purim.
Oh, so that's what we have to come back and figure it out. Let's leave that Al Nisim for a split second. I just want to clarify one point about Matanos Lev Yonin. And then we'll get to Al Nisim. Because again, we have three possible candidate dates for Al Nisim. So we have to sort that out. But as far as Matanos Lev Yonim is concerned, Pashtus would be, there's only one appropriate candidate for Matanos Lev Yonim. And that would be on Friday. Because Matanos Lev Yonim is always, by definition, tagged along with Kriyas HaMegillah. However, if you ask me what the Adim are going to do with that money, that's a little bit odd, because if we assume, again this is an iffy premise, but the purpose of Matanos Avyonim is to afford the Avyonim with food for the Suda, or at least money that they can purchase food for the Suda, it's very interesting that in this case the Sudas Purim will not take place on the same day as Megillah reading. So we're sort of like in a tug of war here. Why? Because we don't know when is the appropriate day for Megillah. Again, in a classical case where the Megillah is read on the day of Purim, and that is the day of the Sudas Purim, then everything fits in well. You know, the Aniyim are flocking to the shuls at the time of the Megillah to get to perceive their Matanos Avyonim. That's a Neim Shel Aniyim Tzluyos Bo. That's fine. And at the same time, they can take that gift and translate it into Sudas Purim. And it's all on the same day. In the case where Megillas Esther is read on one day and the Sudas Purim is on another day, that's what we're talking about here in the case of Tezvav and Shabbos, we have a tug of war, because a name shall anim tluyos the Megillas Esther really would pull us in favor of Friday, but Sudas Purim is going to be delayed until Sunday, and the Mechaber goes out of his way to tip the scale in favor of Friday because of this principle that the Matanos Lev Yonim must under all circumstances be tagged on to Megillas Esther. What are they going to do with that money? Well, we'll give it to them on that day. Hopefully they'll save some of that money until Sunday, or whatever they'll buy, they'll put it into the freezer and eat it at the Sudas Purim on Sunday.
I don't know here in your shrine, but the Chutz La'aretz, I'm accustomed to hearing a Rebbe Bishul making an announcement that Shech Yanu, Megillah had in mind the mitzvah of Purim. How can that be a Shech Yanu going on retroactively, or
So I would say the following: that the way we paskin, it's going to be that Shech Yonah is on the Kriyas HaMegillah. You're right that we'll try to include all the other mitzvahs. If you know, why not? You know, it's like an enhancement of the mitzvah if we recite Shech Yonah on all the mitzvahs Hayom. But as far as the Ikar Din is concerned, that mitzvah which we could single out that generates Shech Yonah is Kriyas HaMegillah. That requires Shech Yonah. You know, as far as Hallel is concerned, we're going to say that there's no Hallel on Purim because the Megillah replaces Hallel. But you see that Megillah plays the most dominant role in defining Purim. Here we have a very interesting situation because Su'udas Purim is not on the same day as Megillah's Esther Purim. So we have two Purims. So we have to know when we should give out Matanos Lev Yonim, because both Friday and Sunday seem to be candidates, but the scale is tipped in favor of Sunday, in favor of Friday, because of the din of a Neim Shel Avyonim Tluyos B'Mikra Megillah. Now, is there another precedent in the Gemara for reading the Gil on one day and doing the Sudas Purim on another day. And that's the case of the Kfarim, right, the villages, because they are Maktim Liyom HaKnisa, which means that on the Monday or Thursday before Purim, they're going to hear Megillah reading, but they're not going to fulfill Sudas Purim until you Dalit. So again, on the Monday or Thursday before you Dalit, they're reading the Megillah. They don't repeat the Megillah on Yudalid, they were already Yotze, but on Yudalid, they will eat the Sudas Purim. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that the Matanis Lev Yonah will be given out on the Yom HaKnis, on that Monday or Thursday before Purim. And that's what I think the Mechaber is standing on that Sugya. And that Sugya establishes that forget about Sudas Purim, what we want to know is when is the Megillah being read, and that's when the Matanis Lev Yonah are going to be divvied out. So basically all the mitzvahs of the day will be fulfilled by the Kfarim, the Bnei Kfarim, on Yudalid, except for Megillah. But once we make Megillah the exception, and the Megillah is going to be Makdimim Liyom HaKnis, so we have to tag on the Matanis Lev Yonah. Okay. So that's the Chiddush in the Mechaber when he says, U'machalkim osam bo bayom, even though that's not the day of the Sudas Purim. Now, what else do we have on Shabbos of Purim? What other vestige of Purim do we have? We mentioned the Kriyas HaMaftir. We mentioned Sholem V'Darshim. Says the Mechaber, U'biyom HaShabbos motzim shnei svarim u'basheni korim vayovo amolik. So the Mechaber has... Apparently, again, at first glance, he seems to have the Parshas Zohar being read on Purim itself, meaning on Tesvav. We just finished saying that Parshas Zohar is going to be read on the 8th of Adar. So I think what he's talking about is a different Parsha, and that is Vayovo Amalek. So maybe if you don't mind passing me this Chumash here, right? We have two Parshas of Amalek. So let's see. Parshas Zohar is in Kitetze, correct? And there it says, Zohar is asher oslcha Amalek v'derech b'tzeischa Mitzrayim. That Parsha is going to be read on Ches on the Shabbos before Purim. On Shabbos of Purim, we're going to read a different Parsha, which is called Vayovo Amalek. Okay, let's see in the end of Parshas Bishalach. It says here, Vayovo Amalek Vayilochim im Yisrael Berefidin. And that's the end of Parshas Bishalach. That is normally read on Purim itself. So whereas Parshas Zoch is read on the Shabbos before Purim, Parshas Vayovo Amalek in Bishalach is going to be read on Purim itself. Now, there's no problem with reading that Parsha on Shabbos, meaning the Gzeirah D'Rabbah only applies to Megillah. We have to find a different day for Kriyas HaMegillah, and Purim, you know, the real Purim of the Bnei HaKrochim, which is Tesvav, is not going to be the appropriate time for Kriyas HaMegillah because it's Shabbos. But as far as the Kriya of Parshas Bishalach, of Vayovo Amalek, which we read on every Purim, there's no reason to upset that, and that's going to be read on Purim itself, meaning on Tesvav on Shabbos. So it turns out that we're going to read about Amalek on two consecutive Shabbosos. One, B'Torah Zohar, and that's the Parsha in Kitetze, and the other is Parsha Vayom Amalek in Vishalach. And the second one is really the reading of Purim. So let's now again list all the inherent observances or fulfillments of Purim on Shabbos of Purim. Number one, we have the Maftir of Pakod Pakadati. Number two, we have Sholem V'Darshim. We will not obviously give out Matanis Lev Yonah because that's not appropriate for Shabbos. We will not read the Megillah. And as far as Sudas Purim is concerned, we're going to postpone Sudas Purim till Sunday. We have to understand why. Why couldn't we fulfill Sudas Purim on Shabbos? And now we're talking about the Kriya of Purim. The Kriya of Purim, which the Kriya Satorah Purim, which is Vayom Amalek, that's appropriate even for Shabbos. Right? Because you could always ask the question, if you're afraid of a baki and you might carry something out, why don't you apply that to every Shabbos? And you'll tell me because that Sefer Torah is too heavy, right? Who would carry it out from one place to the other? But we have here in the ELC, and you've seen it elsewhere, a very small Sefer Torah. You know, it weighs about 5 pounds. So why aren't we afraid on Shabbos that he might take it out and bring it to a baki? And the answer to that question is because the Kedusha Shabbos itself generates the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzivur. That's part of Zochras Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsha. And it wouldn't make any sense to undermine what's essential to the Kedusha Hayom simply because of some chashash they'll carry. Otherwise, you might say that since it's every Shabbos of the year, they certainly would not forget him. Or since every Shabbos of the year, you don't need a baki to tell you how to read the Torah. But in Kriyas HaMegillah, where it's once a year and you need bakiyus, you really have to know your stuff, he might have questions and he wants to go to a baki, he forget himself and carry it out. So if my number is correct here, what we have is 3. I for some reason I think there's a 4th. But right now we have 3. We have 3 reflections of Purim on Shabbos of Purim. We're not sure about Al HaNisim yet. But we have Maftir, Sholem V'Darshim, and the Kriya of Vayavo HaMolek. That's in the Mechaber. Now the Mechaber goes on and he says, V'Omrim Al HaNisim. Okay, this is interesting. He's talking about Shabbos. Oh, here's my number 4. I knew the number was 4. And if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he certifies what I thought was pshat in this Mechaber, because the entire Se'if here in the Mechaber is addressing what to do on Shabbos. He has a little digression here where he talks about what we don't do on Shabbos. And that's at the beginning of the Se'if when he says we don't read the Megillah and on Shabbos, we don't give Matanos Levyonim on Shabbos. But other than that, he really wants to tell you what we do on Shabbos. And the answer is we read Parshas Vayom HaMolek, the Omrim Al HaNisim. Now I assume that Al HaNisim applies both to Tefillah and to Birkas HaMazon as well. But this is a bit confusing here, because Birkas HaMazon Al HaNisim is because of the Sudas Purim. Here, I don't know, is there a key of Sudas Purim? It comes out that, again, I'm going to say something pretty revolutionary, that there may be a key of Sudas Purim even on Shabbos. It's not the full-fledged Kiyum of Sudas Purim, but it's at least a partial Kiyum of Sudas Purim. Now, why is it that in this tug-of-war between Yudalid, which is the day of reading the Megillah for this case of Shabbos and Tesvav, and Tesvav, which is the day of Purim itself, why does Tesvav, which is Shabbos, win out and it gets Al HaNisim? And in the next 3 words, he says, V'lo be'erev Shabbos. You see, I would have said, go ahead and say Al HaNisim on Friday, and go ahead and say Al HaNisim on Purim itself, which is Shabbos. There's no problem in adding Al HaNisim in Shabbos. There's no Xavier Durab. So obviously that's going to be another expression, another vestige of Purim on Shabbos. But why does he exclude the possibility of a double day, V'lo be'erev Shabbos? And he doesn't tell you why. He just quotes in the footnote, the Beis Yosef. But he doesn't tell you why. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that the underlying premise here is that there could be only one day for Al HaNisim. We're not going to tolerate 2 days of Al HaNisim. And perhaps the paradigm for that would be a classical Yudalit Tesvah. For example, if I live in a krach, I will not recite Al HaNisim on the 14th. I'll only recite Al HaNisim on the 15th. If I live in an ear, in a city of Prazi, I will recite Al HaNisim only on the 14th and not on the 15th. So what we're left with on the 14th of Adar, in this case where Shabbos coincides with Purim, is simply Kriyas HaMegillah together with Matanos Levyonim, and that's it. There's no other vestige of the day. Now, I'm going to ask a funny question. Will the real day of Purim please stand up? And the answer would be, and this is like, this is counterintuitive, if you can use that word, is Purim is on Shabbos. You know, we have a tendency of saying, no, Purim can't be on Shabbos. The Gzeret Rabbah, we can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. That's a Bezuder Halacha in Megillah. And we're going to read the Megillah before it's time, so to speak. meaning we read the Megillah on a day which most of Klal Yisrael read the Megillah, because we can't read it on Shabbos. But if you ask me, are we stripping Shabbos of its status as Purim, or are we just pulling out Megillah from the pile? The answer is we're just pulling out Megillah of the pile. The Matanis of Yonah gets schlepped along as a nokshlepper together with Kriyas HaMegillah, but Purim remains Purim. And the greatest proof to that, I think, is from Al HaNisim. The fact that Al HaNisim is going to be recited on Shabbos. Again, I'm a little confused about benching, unless we assume that there's some element of a Kiyum Suda on Shabbos. But be that as it may, we're going to recite Al HaNisim on Shabbos. And that's what he says, Avolo be'erev Shabbos. Be'emes lekrachim zman v'tesvav v'lo b'yudalit. Right, so even though he's reading the Megillah on Yudalit, that's not the Zman of Megillah reading. That's just a hakdama, a kdima to the Zman of Megillah reading. And it's necessary because of the Gzeirah d'Rabbah. U'mikol mekom im'omar eimach zirin also. You know, at this point, he seems to assume that since it is a Miktas Purim on Yudalit, for the Bnei HaKrochim, because we're going to read the Megillah on that day, so if he went ahead and he read and he recited Al HaNisim, it's not called a hefsek. You know, I would ask the following question: what would be if a Ben Krach accidentally recited Al HaNisim on Yudalit, or if a Prozi would accidentally recite Al HaNisim on Tesvav? Would he also be willing to say Ein Machzirin also? At what point do we finally say this is a hefsek? It's totally foreign. I don't know.
Do we ever have?
Say it again.
Do we ever have something where Ein Machzirin also when we?
I didn't hear you. Ein something?
Ein machazirim.
Ein machazirim also, yeah.
Do we ever have that when we say some in addition? Is that some?
No, it's always machazirim also. Well, you know, we have a general universal principle that if you add something to tefillah, which is totally foreign,
right. Then
it's a hefsek. And a hefsek in tefillah will generate the law of machazirim also. So this is very odd that we're not gonna go the full 9 yards and say that Al HaNisim is a hefsek. It is related to the tefillah of that day, insofar as this day is invested with some vestige of the status of Purim. Haraya, we're gonna read the Megillah and we're gonna tell the whole story in the Nes, and we're gonna publicize the Nes. So there must be, you know, insofar as you've accepted the 14th for the Bnei Krochim as Purim vis-a-vis Pirsum HaNes, meaning Kriyas HaMegillah, then let's go a step further and be mefarsim the Nes through Al HaNisim. It's usually a package deal, meaning Al HaNisim is always a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. Here, though, the Pirsum HaNes of Al HaNisim has to pass another criteria, namely it should not be a hefsek in tefillah, and that depends upon the day itself. The day itself generates this addition, this tosefes of Al HaNisim, but the day of Purim is on Shabbos, not on Friday. So for some reason, which again, as I say, he's quoting the Beis Yosef, he's quoting, I believe, the Beis Yosef, this is a very odd kind of psak, because we might have shabbos. Either it is a day of Purim, and you have to recite Al HaNisim, or if it's not a day of Purim, then it's a hefsek, it's just a foreign element. And here we have some sort of Ben HaShmashos, you know, twilight zone, where the 14th of Adar for the Bnei HaKrochim in this case is going to be a quasi Purim. It's not the real Purim. All the mitzvahs of Purim are going to be pushed off till either Shabbos or Sunday, with the exception of Megillah. And yet he's going to allow b'di'evet, if you went ahead and you made a mistake and you recited Al HaNisim, that it's not called a hefsek. It's a little bit of a, you know, of what we call a mimonafshach. You know, it's l'chorin, it's 0 + 0 = 0. You know, you can't, either she's pregnant or she's not pregnant. She can't be half pregnant, you know. Oh, so now he addresses the question that I addressed before. Ulayoros omer malanisim biyudalit velo betesvav. Ah, so he doesn't really address my question. Let me just read one more line. He says, "Ve'ir mesupak like Tveria im himukefes nos Yeshua omrim al anisim b'shnei hayomim." Aha, So maybe, this is the Prima Gaudium he's quoting, maybe that answers my question, meaning you could have 2 days of Purim as far as Alan Nisan. And the Nafkamina is going to be for Ayaros, if he went ahead and he recited Alan Nisan 2 days in a row, or for Krach who recited Alan Nisan 2 days in a row, maybe his status is no worse than a suffix. Meaning, if there's a din of a hefsek through Alan Nisan, then in the case of a suffix, we have to worry about a hefsek. We're not going to allow you to recite Alan Nisan at all in Tveria. The answer is that is the suffix makes it relevant, if you follow what I mean. There's some relevancy of Alan Nisan to that day insofar as it's suffix Purim, or insofar as it's Purim for somebody else. Or in my case, that I'm a Ben Krach and it's Shabbos on Tesvav, the day of Yudalit of Erev Shabbos is a day that's related to Purim. Again, it's not a full-fledged Purim, but it has some relationship, so that the recitation of Alan Nisan is not a foreign element, because there's some shaychus, there's an extended Purim. Okay, now when does he make the Suda in this case, right? He can't, you know, he L'chora, according to everything we've said so far, he can't eat the Suda's Purim on Friday, and the reason for that is because Friday is not Purim. It was only a separate din of Kriyas HaMegillah. Should we eat the Suda's Purim on Shabbos? L'chora, that would be the knee-jerk response here. It would be on Shabbos. Oh, says the Mechaber, no. There's no Suda's Purim on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Bura, the Amina Yerushalmi, the Yasu Osam B'Shabbos. Why shouldn't they set up the Suda's Purim on Shabbos on Relay? Yemei Mishtah Ksiv. The day of Suda's Purim is described as the day of Mishtah. Es Shesim Chaso Tluya B'Bezdin. Oh, he emphasizes the word Yemei. Yemei means the day that was designated as a day of Mishnah, as a day of Suda's Purim. Now, who designates a day? Right? What makes the day a day of Simcha and Mishnah? The answer is Beis Din has to do that. That only applies to a weekday. It doesn't apply to the weekly mitzvah of Shabbos. Shabbos is Simchas B'Dei Shamayim. It's set in the natural course of the universe. It has nothing to do with Beis Din setting up a day of Shabbos. And therefore, since the Torah went out of its, the Megillah went out of its way to identify Mishta as Yomim, meaning Yomim She Nikboim Al Yidei Beis Din, that's when we eat the Suda's Purim. Then it can't be on Shabbos. So if I understand correctly, this drasha is telling me that there's a special afka on Shabbos, that Shabbos is mufka from Suda's Purim. You know, the curious mind wonders why that should be so. What's so gefarlich? You know, I understand if he reads the Megillah, he might carry it and violate a malach of Hotzah. But what's the terrible tragedy of eating a Suda's Purim on Shabbos that he doesn't explain?
It sounds like he's getting to
Simcha b'simcha. Yeah, I was thinking a little bit different, very similar to what you're saying. What you're saying is excellent. I was thinking the following, that a Suda's Purim has to be established as a Suda's Purim, meaning we have a Suda that has a nameless, anonymous status, that's a Suda's call, it doesn't have any complexion to it. And then we can generate a certain complexion to the Suda. It's no longer a Suda's call, it takes on a new personality, a new name. In the case of Suda Shabbos, we've already done so. We've already determined, with the inception of Shabbos, that any Suda I eat on Shabbos is a Suda Shabbos. I'm eating it for the sake of the mitzvah of owning Shabbos. Now to tag on, or shall we say, graft on top of the Suda Shabbos, Hashem Suda's Purim, that we can't do. It's already, you know, the shetach, the area has already been taken. There's no empty space here for a Suda's Purim. I'll tell you why I don't like my pshat. Because why not set up a fourth Suda on Shabbos? So even a fourth Suda will be a Suda Shabbos. That's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes of Rabbi Chidka. You remember that? That he used to eat four Sudas on Shabbos. In other words, there's no end, there's no limit to how many suddas you can eat on Shabbos, and each one will be endowed with the status of Suda Shabbos.
But we recently had Chanukah,
Shabbos Chanukah.
In other words, Chanukah is not really a mitzvah, but Suda.
Correct. But again, to take any status of a Suda and superimpose it on a Suda Shabbos, that we can't do. Okay. Why? It's already a Suda Shabbos. It's almost like taken. You know, you can't go into a room because it's taken. There's a sign on it that says it's already Tafuz. So all this is the Yerushalmi. It's not the Bavli. The Yerushalmi has this drasha to exclude Suda's Purim from Shabbos. Now, according to this Yerushalmi, what happens to Mishloach Manos? Now, Mishloach Manos is always a tag on to Suda's Purim. In fact, the Gemara says you can be Yotzei both the mitzvah of Suda's Purim and the mitzvah of Shaloch Manos simultaneously. I just have to invite you to my Suda, and that itself is a kiyum of Mishloach Manos. I don't have to do anything beyond that. So Suda's Purim and Shiluach Manos is one and the same. It's all part of one undivisible entity. And just like we said before, the Megillah and Matanos Avyonim is one entity. Hine Hamaral Chaviv, okay, I don't know who the Maral Chaviv is, but anyway, Herich Lochiach, the Babavli Shalonu Ein Sover came. That all this, including the Machaber's Psak here, just reflects the Shita of the Yerushalmi, which we, the Babavli, never accepted. Vidaito, and therefore, according to the Maral Chaviv, Hasuda hi b'Shabbos. Now again, I don't say we paskin like this, but it's a fascinating shita because he's saying that a suda can tolerate two different shemos. It could be both the suda Shabbos and a suda's Purim at the same time. And one doesn't have to bump off the other. And not only that, he also came Mice of Yushalayim. He came to Yushalayim, and on that Shabbos of Tesvav, of Purim, he ate a suda's Purim. V'gam mishloach manos b'shabbos ki hamanos hei me'asuda. So if I just, you know, invite you or take part of my suda and I give it to you. Again, I don't know about kinyanim here, you have to know. But let's say I invite you to eat from my suda, then we both have a kind of mitzvah suda's purim. Radbaz, pasak ha-shulchan aruch, v'cheinu gam kein das ha-mangin avram, ha-shkasar sam, chus nadu yuda, etc. So we don't accept this maral chaviv. And again, it would be fascinating to see what proofs he adduced from the Bavli, that the Bavli definitely rejected the Yerushalmi, because we're going to have to defend all the Achronim against his proofs and assume that, on the contrary, the Bavli accepted the Yerushalmi and there's no such thing as a Suda's Purim on Shabbos. Now, if you take a look in Number Lamed, he's aware of the problem because, again, the Maral Chaviv brought many rayos from the Bavli that the Bavli doesn't accept the Yerushalmi. What are we going to do according to all the other poskim? He says, Vekosav, and he's quoting now the Magen Avraham, the rayos of Eina Muchrochos, that all the rayos that he brings from the Bavli are not convincible. The Ein Bonu Koch Lachlok Al Yerushalmi. In other words, since we don't have any proof or any assumption that the Bavli rejects the Yerushalmi, then we always pass the Yerushalmi. We'll only reject the Yerushalmi if there's a Bavli against the Yerushalmi. Wow, the Pre-Kodesh wants to go very far here based on this my real Chaviv, and he wants to obligate us to set up a Suda's Purim on Shabbos and not rely on the Suda of Yom Rishon. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that requirement, what it means. Or take, for example, my real Chaviv. What exactly is going to happen over here? Do you understand my question? What changes over here? I would have eaten that Suda as a Suda Shabbos. There's no bracha on the Suda's Purim last time I checked. So again, if you're dealing with Mishloach Manos, okay, fine. I could see a nafkamina l'gav with Mishloach Manos. But if you're dealing with the Suda itself, I mean, I'm going to eat that Suda anyway. Is he requiring a fourth Suda? I don't think so. Maybe. Maybe he's. I'm saying this, but Milsa the Bedichus, don't take me seriously, but maybe he's going to require that we eat Hamantashen at the Suda. Perhaps what he has in mind is Basar. Basar v'yayin. For example, I don't have to make Kiddush al Yayin. There's nowhere in Shulchan Aruch that I'm obligated to drink wine on Shabbos. I can make Kiddush on wine, or I can opt for, let's say, pots. Or on Shabbos lunch, there are those who have a minhag, it's more chassidic, that we don't even make Kiddush on pots, we make Kiddush on a glass of schnapps, you know. So there's no requirement on Shabbos to drink wine. What about eating meat? I don't think there's any halacha that requires eating meat on Shabbos. Chicken is fine. Some would be also a gefilte fish, if you're a vegetarian. Although most vegetarians don't eat fish. So now, I'm left with basar v'yayin. What do I mean? Sudas Purim requires basar v'yayin. In that sense, Purim is like a yontif. Ein simcha elo b'basar v'yayin. Now, would there be any other expressions or manifestations of Sudas Purim that go beyond Sudas Shabbos? So again, Al Anisim, he seems to assume we're going to recite according to everybody, even if we don't accept the Maril and we go to Yushalmi, right? Because he doesn't question the fact that the only day of these 3 days for Al Anisim is going to be Shabbos. So I don't think that he's coming up with a new nafkamina that you have to add a Sudas Purim with Al Anisim. That we would do anyway. So I'm suggesting Basar V'yayin. What else? What do you say, yeah?
What occurred to me was on that Shabbos Suda, if one we're holding on the Mechalik that the Suda Tzporim on Shabbos, if one would forget about Avnissim and mentioning, you would not repeat the benching because you're already yotzei for Shabbos, but you'd have to wash again to have a suda to fulfill the suda's form.
I see what you're saying. That if he omits al anisim, he's going to have to eat another suda. In other words, if we didn't have the maril, then we would say that all right, you know, we recite al anisim, but there's no chiyuv suda, and therefore, if you omitted al anisim, you would not have to repeat the suda because there is no chiyuv suda. But now the Maril says there's a chiyuv suda, then al anisim becomes critical in the kiyum of Sudas Purim. That's brilliant. I love that. Wow. I think you should publish this. That's a brilliant chiddush. Because I was going to say something and then shlug it up. I was about to say that maybe we have to give out what's called Kleios Van Gozen for the children, because on Yontif, when there's a mitzvah of Simcha, we have to give out candies and sweets for the children. And I was wondering if that's a requirement of Sudas Purim. But I don't think anyone would tell you that in Sudas Purim you have to give out sweets to the children. Let me just see, is there anything more here in the Mechaber about Sudas Purim? Second, you know what, I'm just gonna maybe find a shortcut here. Let's see, so we're up to Tafresh Pei Ches, and let's just see. Tafresh Tzadi Hei. Let's just for a second fast forward to Tafresh Tzadi Hei. And that's page 321. Okay, Sudas Purim has to be by Yom. All right, that's not going to... Oh, Chayev Inish Lebsume. I can't believe that's going to happen on Shabbos. Okay, fine. What else? He says, Echra Marbe Vechra Marbe Endless Anos with Profane. Oh, that's interesting. Check this one out. What happens with Tainus Chalom on this Purim of Tesvav, would you be allowed to fast? Ah, this is Lamdash.
When you're able to fast on Shabbos for a bad dream.
But not on Purim.
Not on Purim.
So this would be interesting. If you take the Maril and the Bavli rejects the Yerushalmi and the day for Sudas Purim is Shabbos, then there's not going to be a tainus Chalom on Shabbos. Wow, that's really sharp. And let's see if we can find anything else. Okay, Lilbo's Big Day Shabbos. That's not relevant to us. Ah, he wants you to eat the Sudas Purim after Mincha. Truth is that Chal Shudas is also after Mincha, so I don't know if that's a big deal. Let's see on page 322 if there's anything that we can just quickly. He has certain things that he doesn't want you to eat on Purim. Now, I don't know again if that's critical to Sudas Purim, you know. Now, again, if he left out Al Anisim, okay, I'm not finding that right now, but I think you're right that if he leaves out Al Anisim, that would undermine his Kiyum of Sudas Purim. Okay, so let's go back now to page 304, and we have the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, Ein Osim Sudas Purim Ad Yom Echad B'Shabbos, and we have this Yerushalmi that's based on a drasha which seems to be Mafkia Sudas Purim from Shabbos. We tried to give a Svara, and we have the possibility that maybe according to the Bavli there is such a thing as Sudas Purim on Shabbos. So let's just add the following. What did the Maril do on Sunday? I'm beginning to think that he did absolutely nothing on Sunday. Because what's left for Sunday except for Sudas Purim? Am I missing something? Again, it's the 16th of Adar. Am I right?
That's Kriyas Megillah.
No, Kriyas Megillah was on the 14th of Adar, right? On Friday. You're asking when would Mishloach Manos be? No, he's saying Mishloach Manos would be with the Sudas Purim on Shabbos. So what are you left with on Sunday? It sounds like it's a null set. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that this whole concept, this nomenclature called Purim Mishulash, is a non-set according to the Maril. It's only a Purim Mechupal, not a Purim Mishulash. It's only on the 14th and the 15th. Because what are you left with on the 16th? There's no Sudas Purim, you're already Yotze on Shabbos. Again, if you want to be Machmir like the Prima Gadim, so you'll have a Sudas Purim on Shabbos, and you'll have a Sudas Purim on Sunday as well. But I'm saying, if you all like the Maril, that the Bavli disagreed with the Shalvi, then everything should be packed into Shabbos. I don't think there's anything left over for Sunday. Then the Kach Niril Ani is Daiti, if I understood this correctly. Right, let's go on to Siv Zion because we're running short on time. He says, I'm a farish bayom vayotze v'shayora. Oh, so here's a case of someone who doesn't have the possibility of reading the Megillah in its time. Right? Because he's going on a long trip and he's going to come back after Purim. And there's no one on the trip, no one on the boat who could read the Megillah for him. Or maybe there's no Megillah at all. The Eino Motzi Megillah Lo Licha Lo Lich Ima. The best thing would be in such a case that he takes a Megillah with him. But if that's impossible, Yikre Eno Biyud Gimel O Biyud Beis O Bacharasar Belo Bracha. This is Mamish Wild. This is what we call Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa. Now, nowhere will you find codified in Shulchan Aruch the Dinim Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa, meaning for the Kfarim, because that went down the tubes after Churban Abayis, the Gemara says. But yet we do have some vestige of the original concept of Yom HaKnisa in the case of Mefarish Bayom V'Yotze B'Shayara. So you take a look in the Mishnah Bura, he says the following. Just one second. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Just if I can add one more line to the previous Mishnah Berurah, which we omitted, that's number Yud Ches on page 304. He says, "Vehine apri chodesh," on the last line, "Osel l'talta al megillah v'shabes me'achas ein korim bo v'kama chronim cholkel al matir." This is fascinating. For this, we have to be bekiyim in Hilchos Muktzah. Would there be an isa tiltal muktzah with regard to the Megillah on Shabbos? Now, if you'd ask me, I would say for sure not, for three reasons. Number one, because you're allowed to learn Torah on Shabbos, and you can learn Torah from the Megillah. Megillah, that's number two. I would say you're allowed to be metal to the Megillah because of the mitzvah of Shol V'Darshim, right? Shol V'Darshim means we have to darshan in the Megillah publicly on Shabbos, and that's going to be done from the Megillah. I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. On the contrary, if it's replacing Kriyas HaMegillah, you want to get as close to the Megillah as you can. And thirdly, B'chlal, I don't know that Sfarim have an Issa Tiltal. Do we have any sort of precedent in Issa Tiltal with regard to a Sefer? But apparently the Pre-Chadosh holds that the tiltal itself is the beginning of the act of taking out the Megillah, and that's prohibited. Okay, but let's get back to Seif Zion, and we want to see the Mishnah Berurah Yutes. The Imoy Yomotzi Mechuyv L'Kach Tulekros of Yudalit. If he has a Megillah, he has to read on Yudalit. Yikrenem Yud Gimel, but Kibbutz Asara. Whoa, this is a very important addition of the Mishnah Berurah. And I'm beginning to be very suspicious here that the Mechaber himself didn't add this addition. Namely, that the proviso here is that you have a minion. And the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, "Dibshalo b'zmana boy asara," that even though there's machlokas in the Gemara whether you need asara for Megillas Esther, everybody agrees that in shalo b'zmana you need a minion. Again, he has a Meiri here in brackets that b'dieved, you could be Yotze without a minion, but certainly you need a minion. Now, what is the nature of this minion? Is it a Dover Shebet Tzibur, as we call it, a Dover Shebet Kedusha, or is it a Dover Shebet Farhesia, just to publicize the miracle? And then Afkamina is going to be Ketanim. Can you include Ketanim in the minion Asara? I would say a Noshim should also be part of this nafkamina. Right now, I don't see that he mentions Noshim, but he says, "Achein efshav desagi v'ketanim hol v'hu mishum pirsum." So it's only a mice of pirsum, it's not a din of Dovashev v'kedusha. The ayin baran de mistapik lin yibnei akfar v'shmakdim l'krosa imachuyiv l'krosa gam balaylo dai b'kriya diyom v'poshim tuhu adin l'inyin mefar sh'ayam v'yotzim shayara. I don't see the point here, this Mishnah Berurah. You know, with regard to the Ran, he's talking about setting up the Zman of Kriya Samigil. That's for Bnei HaKfarim. And if you're setting it up as a Zman Kriya, then you might have to read it at night as well. But if you're talking about a Yotze B'Shayara, he doesn't have a Zman Kriya on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. It's just we're bending over backwards to allow him to read the Megillah, but that's only by day, not by night. I don't know if there's any. He says that it's a milsa the pshita that you should apply the same yardstick and the same suffix of the Ran in Bnei HaKfarim to this case of Yotze B'Shayara. I don't see that it's the same issue at all. And again, from the Mishnah Berurah's perspective, that means both in the case of Bnei HaKfarim and also in the case of Yotze B'Shayara. V'da'o d'hodi kilu Yotze B'Shayara l'mefarshi ayam hu gaklin yin kriyas ha-megillah v'al su'is pur v'chei b'shof monos matos avyonim lo yikayim ela bizmana. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. Maybe I'm not in trouble. It works like this. We assumed an absolute principle that knows of no exception that Matanis Avionim is a nachshleper to Kriya Samigil. Here we see the exception, and that seems to blow up everything I've been saying. But the answer is that whenever there's a Kriya Samigilah on the part of a tzibur, meaning that it's not just you or I that's reading the Megillah as yechidim, but an entire community is reading the Megillah to fulfill its what their chiyuv, then we have the principle that Matanis Avionim is a tag on to Kriyas HaMegillah. But if an individual is reading Megillah on his own, and there's another day of Purim that's not that day because he's being makdim, then the Matoris of Yonim will be schlepped along to the day of Purim, even though this individual will not be giving out any gifts, any donations to the Avdionim on the day of his Kriya Samigil. So this is a very beautiful Mishnah Berurah here, number Chav. I mean, it really covers a lot of fascinating issues. Number one, in the case of Yotzei B'Shayara, which was codified here by the Mechaber, there's a halacha of Be'ina Nasara. Once again, I don't see in the Mechaber that he requires Asara. So that's a question that I have. Number two, how do we calculate Asara? Can we include Ketanim in the Asara? He doesn't mention anything about Noshim, which I don't know why. Number three, he wants to apply the suffix of the Ran to the case of Yotze B'Shayara. Namely, would the Yotze B'Shayara have to read the Megillah not only by day, but even the night before he checks out? And point number four is that once we have the kula of Kriyas HaMegillah for the sake of the Yotzei B'Shayara, you might think that let's give him the entire celebration of Purim on that day before he checks out on the Sfina. But the answer is no. He's going to still retain his obligation to observe Purim on its day, meaning on Yudalid, even though he's reading the Megillah much earlier. And that's basically an application of the general rule of Bnei HaKfarim to the case of Yotzei B'Shayara. The only thing that bothers me is just the economics or the logistics of it, I should say. How is he get? You know, I can understand he can eat a Sudas Purim on Yudalit on the boat, and therefore he can give out Mishloach Manos. Just one second. I guess the assumption is that the only problem on this boat is that he doesn't have a Megillah. There are Avyonim. So I don't know who gave a ticket to the Avyonim. Man, how are they boarding the yacht? You know, saying, yeah, my question. Uh-huh. Okay, that is a stomach. I'm asking a narish question. I mean, this is this is just a klutz kash. I'm just saying, are there Avyonim on the boat? You know, we're talking about a guy who's not going to be back. He's not going to be back on shore until after Purim, and yet he's chayv in the midst of Matanis Avyonim. He's got to find a poor person on the boat.
He's trying to do an entourage.
Yeah. All right, so we'll stop here. So let's just make a note of where we got to. We're up to the top of page Kuf Nun Gimel. And what we've accomplished already is Mishnah Berurah Chaf. So we'll read a little bit more in the Mechaber, and then we'll try to do the Mishnah Berurah in Chaf Aleph. When is the earliest possible time to read the Megillah? Okay, then.
We went through. I'm sure there's Mishnah Berurah on Pasha Zohar, but it sounds very similar. Although, because I had a personal situation a number of years back where I couldn't be in the shul on Shabbos here, Pasha Zohar. So the Rebbe told me on Friday, at the end of the minyan, has to take the Sefer Torah out and read it yourself.
Pasha. In front of the minyan, or
he said it didn't have to be in front of the minyan.
Pasha Zohar without a minyan. That's an interesting sugya. I'm not. You know, I think we'll be ready. Might be ready for that tomorrow.
I don't think it was.
Because my shiur on Pasha Zohar, I was postponing till tomorrow.
Maybe we did have a minyan. I don't. It's a long time
ago. Long time ago. Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly, but I think he said it wasn't so necessary. But it could be there was.
That's a fascinating question.
First time we ever leaned from the Torah.
Right. Another discussion that we have to address here, which we didn't get to, is the Yotzei B'Shayara. Is he making a bracha on Kriyas HaMegillah? The Mechaber says not. He says below bracha. So I'd like to see if there's any, you know, if there's any analysis on this. Again, because it's not Zmano and we don't have the Kriya of the Bnei HaKfarim, maybe a Kriya Shel Zmano doesn't get a bracha. It's just a separate kula to allow him to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Samegillah, but there's no Zman, and you need the Zman of Mikra Megillah in order to make a bracha on the Megillah. I mean, that has to be taken under advisement, because again, we had a case where he's reading the Megillah on Yud Dalet, even though he's a Ben Krach, because Shabbos overlapped with the Tesva. Okay, we have to see about the mitzvah of Megillah with a bracha, how that. That's good.